Okay, so we will be starting on page 102. But when we last left Babar and Celeste, they had found a whale who was taking them away from the island out in the ocean. They ended up on a ship, and then they were given away to Fernando and his circus. When the circus got to the town where the rich old lady lived, they escaped and stayed with her for a while, and then they all flew back to the forest where Babar and Celeste lived. When they got there, the forest had been destroyed by the war between the rhinoceroses and the elephants. And we are now getting ready for the last great battle. Page 102. The day of the battle, at just the right moment, the disguised elephants came out of hiding, and Babar's bright idea succeeds. The rhinoceroses think they are monsters, and terrified, they retreat in great disorder. King Babar is a mighty fine general. The rhinoceroses have fled and are still running. Pamir and Rataxis are prisoners and hang their heads in shame. What a glorious day for the elephants. In chorus, they all cry, "Bravo, Babar, bravo, victory, victory. The war is over. How perfectly splendid." The next day, before all of the elephants, Babar and Celeste, having put on their royal garments and their new crowns, reward the old lady who has been so good to them and has cared so well for the wounded. They give her 11 singing canaries and a cunning little monkey. After the ceremony, Babar and Celeste and the old lady sit and chat under the palm trees. "And what are we going to do next?" asked the old lady. "I'm going to try to rule my kingdom wisely," answers Babar. "And if you will remain with us, you can help me make my subjects happy." Off in the country of the elephants, King Babar and Queen Celeste are rejoicing. They have signed a treaty of peace with the rhinoceroses, and their friend, the old lady, has consented to remain with them. She often tells the elephant's children stories. Her little monkey, Zephyr, perched up in a tree, also listens. Leaving the old lady with Queen Celeste, Babar has gone for a walk along the banks of a large lake with Cornelius, the oldest and the wisest of all the elephants. And he says to him, "This countryside is so beautiful that I would like to see it every day as I wake up. We must build our city here. Our houses shall be on the shores of the lake and shall be surrounded with flowers and birds. Zephyr, who has followed them, would like to catch a butterfly he sees." While chasing the butterfly, Zephyr meets his friend Arthur, the young cousin of the king and queen, who is amusing himself hunting for snails. All of a sudden, they see 1, 2, 3, 4 dromedaries, 5, 6, 7 dromedaries, 8, 9, 10. There are more than they can count. And the chief of the cavalcade calls to them, "Can you please tell us where we can find King Babar?" Escorted by Arthur and Zephyr, the dromedaries have found Babar. They are bringing him all his heavy baggage and all the things which he had brought out of the big world during his honeymoon. Babar thanks them. "You must be tired, gentlemen. Won't you rest under the shade of the palm trees?" Then turning to the old lady and to Cornelius, he says, Now we will be able to build our city." Having called an assembly of all elephants, Babar climbs up on a packing case and in a loud voice proclaims the following words. "My friends, I have in these trunks, these bales, and these sacks, gifts for each of you. There are dresses, suits, hats, materials, paint boxes, drums, fishing tackle, rods, ostrich feathers, tennis rackets, and many other things. I will divide all this among you as soon as we have finished building our city. This city, the city of the elephants, I would like to suggest that we name Celesteville in honor of your queen. All elephants raised their trunks and cried, "What a good idea, what an excellent idea." The elephants set to work quickly. Arthur and Zephyr hand out the tools. Babar tells each one what he should do. He marks with signboards where the streets and houses should go. He orders some to cut down trees, some to move stones, others to saw wood or dig holes. With what joy they all strive to do their best. The old lady is playing the phonograph for them, and from time to time, Babar plays his trumpet. He is so fond of music. All the elephants are as happy as he is. They drive nails, draw logs, pull and push, dig, fetch, carry, opening their big ears wide as they work. Over in the big lake, the fish are complaining amongst themselves. "We can't even sleep peacefully any longer," they say. "These elephants make the most dreadful noise. What are they building? When we jump out of the water, we really haven't time to see clearly. We'll have to ask the frogs what it is all about." The birds also gather together to discuss what the elephants were up to. The pelicans and flamingos, the ducks and ibis, and even the smaller birds all twittered, chirruped, and quacked. And the parrots enthusiastically kept repeating, "Come and see Celesteville, the most beautiful of all cities. Come and see Celesteville, the most beautiful of all cities." "Here is Celesteville. The elephants have just finished building it and are resting or bathing." Babar goes for a sail with Arthur and Zephyr. He is well satisfied and admires his new capital. Each elephant has his own house. The old lady is at the upper left, and the one for the king and queen is at the upper right. The big lake is visible from all their windows. The Bureau of Industry is next to the amusement hall, which will be very practical and convenient. So we are looking at page 118 and 119, and we can see all the houses in the big city by the lake, and then the elephants are all swimming and playing in the lake. Okay, page 120. Today, Babar keeps his promise. He gives a gift to each elephant and also serviceable clothes suitable for work days and beautiful rich clothes for holidays. After thanking their king most heartily, the elephants all go home dancing with glee. Babar has decided that next Sunday, all the elephants will dress up in their best clothes and assemble in the gardens of the amusement park. The gardeners have much to do. They rake the paths, water the flower beds, and set out the last flower pots. The elephant children are planning a surprise for Babar and Celeste. They have asked Cornelius to teach them the song of the elephants. Arthur had the idea. They are very attentive, keep time, and will know it perfectly by Sunday. On page 123, we have the song of the elephants. The song of the elephants, melody, and the words. On to page 124, the cooks are hurriedly preparing cakes and dainties of all kinds. Queen Celeste comes to help them. Zephyr comes too with Arthur. He tastes the vanilla ice cream to see if it is just right. First he puts in his finger, then his hand, and then his whole arm. Arthur is dying of envy and would like to stick his trunk in it too. In order to have one last taste, Zephyr bends his head, sticks out his tongue, and he falls in head first. Plop. At this sound, the chef looks around and, greatly annoyed, fishes Zephyr out by the tail. The soup chef bursts out laughing. Arthur hides. Poor little Zephyr is a sight, all yellow and sticky. Celeste scolds him and goes off to clean him up. Sunday comes at last. In the gardens of the amusement park, the elephants saunter about dressed magnificently. The children have sung their song. Babar has kissed each one. The cakes were delicious. What a wonderful day. Unfortunately, it is all over soon. The old lady is already organizing the last round of hide and seek. The next day after their morning dip in the lake, the children go to school, and they are glad to find their dear teacher, the old lady, waiting for them. Lessons are never tiresome when she teaches. After having settled the little ones at their task, she turns her attention to the older ones and asks, 2 times 2? 3, answers Arthur. No, no, 4, says his neighbor Audley. For that's what we study for, sang Zephyr. 4, repeated Arthur. I'll never forget again, teacher. All the elephants who are too old to attend classes have chosen a trade. For example, Tapator is a cobbler, Pilophage an officer, Capolus is a doctor, Barbacol a tailor, Podular a sculptor, and Hatchabombutter is a street cleaner. Dulamore is a musician, Olur is a mechanic, Poutifor is a farmer, Fandango is a learned man, Justinian is a painter, and Coco a clown. If Capolus has holes in his shoes, he brings them to Tapator, and if Tapator is 6, Capolus takes care of him. If Barbacol wants a statue for his mantelpiece, he asks Podular to carve one for him, and when Podular's coat is worn out, Barbacol makes a new one to order for him. Justinian paints a portrait of Pilophage, who will protect him against his enemies. Hatchabombutter cleans the streets. Olur repairs the automobiles, and when they are all tired, Dulamore plays his cello to entertain them. After having settled grave problems, Fandango relaxes and eats some of Poutifor's fruits. As for Coco, he keeps them all laughing and gay. On page 131, we see all the different workers in their various outfits. At Celesteville, all the elephants work in the morning, and in the afternoon, they can go do as they please. They play, go for walks, read, dream. Babar and Celeste like to play tennis with Mr. and Mrs. Pilophage. Cornelius, Fandango, Podular, and Capolus Los prefer to play bowls. The children play with Coco the clown. Arthur and Zephyr have put on masks. There is a shallow pool in which to sail their boats, and there are many other games besides. But what the elephants like best of all is the theater in the amusement park. Every day, early in the morning, Hatchabombutter sprinkles the streets with his motor sprinkler. When Arthur and Zephyr meet him, they quickly take off their shoes and run after the car barefoot. Oh, what a fine shower, they say laughingly. Unfortunately, Babar caught them at it one day. No dessert for either of you, you rascals, he cried. Arthur and Zephyr are mischievous, as are all little boys, but they are not lazy. Babar and Celeste visit the old lady and are amused to hear them play the violin and cello. It is wonderful, says Celeste, and Barbara adds, my dear children, I am indeed pleased with you. Go to the pastry shop and select whatever cakes you would like. Arthur and Zephyr are very happy to have had all the cakes they wanted, but they are even more delighted at the distribution of the prizes. They hear Cornelius read out, first prize for music, a tie between Arthur and Zephyr. Very proudly, with the wreaths on their head, they went back to their seats, and after having rewarded the good scholars, Cornelius made a noble speech. His speech we will start with tomorrow. Good night.